staffing shortages are an issue every day in senior living facilities in Wisconsin. And according to Wisconsin Watch, conditions at some have become neglectful and even dangerous. And that is one of the many reasons our guest says aging now is more difficult than it needs to be. We want to hear from you as we think about aging. You can call 800-642-1234. Share the challenges you've faced as you've been getting older, or perhaps your quality of life has improved. Let's talk about what it means to age in our society now, because we're also talking about our failure to support our elders and the people who care for them. We'll look at how we might improve the system and how we can also embrace the many joys of aging with our guest, Marie-Therese Connolly. She's a leading national expert on elder justice, and she wrote the new book called The Measure of Our Age, Navigating Care, Safety, Money, and Meaning Later in Life. MT, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Keely.
Your book opens up in northern Wisconsin. It's a story about your mother-in-law's birthday. Tell us about that. How does it relate to the central theme of your book?
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, but we had a cabin in northern Wisconsin, and we were taking a canoe and kayak ride on the Brule River, on the Brule from, you know, that empties out into Lake Superior, on my mother-in-law's 88th birthday. And she was this really extraordinary human being. Her name was Janet. And we were stopping by a little island in the river, and my kids leaned over and picked some flowers and gave her a little wildflower crown. And we all sang happy birthday. And then she made a funny face. And we said, "So, you know, why are you making the funny face?" And she said, "Well, for a second, I thought you were going to leave me on this little island. I know it sounds crazy, but for a minute I thought it was true." And so I was really struck by that moment, because in this like very loving time and day where she was having fun and we were all having fun and we were together in the, you know, the natural beauty of northern Wisconsin, she suddenly was worried. And so that made me sort of think about aging and how some older people really worry about being abandoned in their lives. So that, you know, and it seemed like a good place to open the book, because there are a lot of challenges in aging, and there's also a lot to look forward to and a lot of beauties. And we sometimes miss out. We sometimes are unprepared and underestimate both of those.
I imagine you did nothing to make her think that you would just leave her there. And yet it really surfaced a real fear when it comes to isolation or being left behind. What role do you see that playing when we think about aging?
Well, as your question implies, isolation and loneliness are a huge epidemic among older people these days, and it's really very damaging for older people. You know, people 85 and older are the fastest growing part of population of the U.S. In the U.S. right now, and that is really amazing and wonderful. We get to live longer lives, and we have more time on the planet, but our lifespans are often longer than our health spans. So the average life expectancy is about 78. The average healthy life expectancy is about 66 years. And so a lot of older adults have some kind of functional disability. That means that a lot of people are going to need care. And we don't really have very good care systems in place right now. You know, Medicare doesn't cover long-term care. Most private health plans don't cover long-term care. And so a lot of families are really very much on their own, which is one of the reasons that we have more than 40 million informal or unpaid caregivers in the United States right now who don't get much help.
Needing care, being in those sort of senior living facilities can physically isolate you. It can also emotionally isolate you from people. And then we have the added layer that you just touched on, the chronic staffing issues, the difficulty with finding reliable workers and being able to pay them well. Certainly that's an issue here in Wisconsin. Is that an issue everywhere?
It's an issue in many, many places. Direct care worker shortages, both in facilities as well as in homes. I think there are probably many different reasons to point to, but historically we have not treated direct care workers very well, and we haven't paid them well. We haven't provided paths for advancement, for good supervision, for helping care workers feel like we value the care they're providing and that we value the people for whom they provide care. So I think part of it is that, and we could do a lot better at that.
Are there tangible things that you could offer in this conversation to do a lot better? Or is this really something that we need to look at more, that we need to collaborate on more to figure out how we're going to fix that?
Well, I think it's both things. I think there's a lot more we can do, and we do need to collaborate more to find better solutions too, because aging is, I've come to think of it as aging is not just an aging problem. Aging is an issue for all generations, and our policy failures cascade into all the generations. And so we really need to start getting ahead of that. So some of the things that we can do is to provide better caregiver support so that caregivers who are providing care for loved ones at home don't feel so alone. So they feel like they have resources or respite or education. You know, for example, dementia is a really complicated illness to care for. And we just expect that people somehow know how to do that. And a lot of people don't. And so we really need to support caregivers better. We also need to do better in terms of our stewardship over public funds. So for example, nursing homes and what are called CCRCs, or continuing care retirement communities, they get over $100 billion a year in taxpayer dollars. And yet we don't know how they're spending those dollars and how many of those dollars actually go to caring for residents and to the benefit of residents. And sometimes we don't even know who owns the facilities who are getting those dollars. So I think just exercising better stewardship and requiring better accountability as a condition for getting those funds would go a long way, because we're already pouring billions and billions of dollars into our long-term care system. We just need to make sure that we spend those dollars well. And one other thing, as you alluded to, is that we know that staffing is the most important element of quality care, whether it's at home or in facilities. And so we need to make sure that we have adequate staff.
We're talking with Elder Justice Advocate M.T. Connolly about how aging is hard and how we can make it even harder to handle with the systems that we've put in place or that we haven't. And we're welcoming your calls at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. We're wondering what your life is like right now. Have you had to put in place some opportunities to make sure that you are aging well? Maybe you're at an earlier stage of your life and you're looking ahead and starting to think about that already because you know that that's inevitable as bodies grow older. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can join in that way and help us better understand how you're living well into the later years. MT, there are certainly individual challenges that we deal with when we're aging, and yet we have this broader culture that does influence the way we think about aging and death and value. How do you see our broader culture affecting the way we treat people who are getting older?
It's such a great question, Keely. So we live in a country that is really scared of aging, that is really anti-aging. We hear a lot more about anti-aging than we do about aging well. And I think we need to create a more pro-aging culture. And that's not a victimless crime in a sense. We know from other kinds of bias that bias leads to dehumanizing the people against whom we feel bias. And we then, it's sort of like a toxin that then seeps into our institutions and into ourselves. And yet we feel like it's okay to feel ageism because we're all just getting older. And so we kind of don't notice what the damage is, although a researcher at Yale did a study showing that people who held the most positive views of aging lived 7.5 years longer than people who held the most negative views. So I think one of the challenges is to really take on how we think about aging, you know, and try and get rid of the fear and the denial and the shame, because they don't do us any good. It's just useless negative feelings. And to really kind of turn that dial to more positive feelings about aging, because there's also really good evidence of health benefits if we can embrace a sense of purpose as we grow older, and of meaning, and of feeling connection and staying connected to the people that we care about.
We're talking with author M.T. Connelly about her new book about figuring out care and finances and purpose as we age. You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. What have you enjoyed about getting older? What's been difficult? What didn't you expect? Do you feel like people treat you differently? Share your story with us at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Join our conversation now here on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about the systems we have in place to support us as we age and whether they work or actually make the journey more difficult than it should be. Our guest is M.T. Connelly, who's written a book about this. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. M.T., to kind of pick up where you left off, I know in talking with people aging in my family, I've heard them say, well, I don't want to be a burden. And I'll say that's such a hard thing to hear because we value them so much, but it has to be much, much harder to feel like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, so often people feel like they're either failing at aging or failing at caring. And a lot of that actually goes back to our broken systems. If we had a more robust network of community supports and services, that then older people wouldn't feel as worried about being a burden on their families, because they would feel like there was support out there for them and for their family, their caregiving family members. So I think that is, it's like a warning sign or a, you know, some kind of smoke that suggests that we look more closely at how we're supporting people and families through aging.
We have Carol in New Richmond who's ready to join our conversation. Hey, Carol.
Hi there.
Hi. What did you want us to hear from you today?
Well, from a nursing point of view, I've been a nurse for almost 43 years now, and I teach the CNA program, and many of the CNAs that I do teach are, and hopefully they're listening, you know, I think that it's just a, first of all, it's such a great, whether you work in home care or in a facility, there's so many opportunities, and it's extremely rewarding career. And many of them do work with the elderly. Right now, the WIS Caregiver Program does offer free education, and it's, you know, it's a great deal. It's a great deal for facilities as well, because they also get some finances when somebody signs up through them. So, you know, and I do, you know, your speaker is so interesting, because there is a lot of services that are lacking, I think, as a community. There's so many things that we can do. And, you know, the more active that seniors can be, the longer they are able to take care of themselves. And that's the basis of our whole education that I teach, is to keep them as active and as independent as they can for as long as they can do things for themselves.
Carol, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and also for all of the work that you've done over these years as a nurse. I just want to make sure you understand that we appreciate you. MT, that brings us to a point about joy. I heard Carol talk about people being able to live independently, to do things on their own. What do you see people enjoying or looking forward to enjoying later in life?
Well, you know, first, I want to thank you too, Carol, for your 43 years of work, and also for training the next generation of CNAs. It's incredibly important, and Wisconsin is fortunate to have you. In terms of joy, I have a colleague and friend named Ann Bastien, who teaches at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, who started an organization called Time Slips that's really in the business of joy. And Ann purveys a technique called creative engagement, whether it's for older people who are living in facilities or at home, and really trying to evoke more joy from life. So, for example, one of the things that I wrote about in my book is a program or something that Anne created called Beautiful Questions, where she, it's, there are questions that have no right or wrong answers. And my niece, Charlotte, actually went into a nursing home. She was volunteering at a nursing home and used these questions to start conversations about creativity. Like, how does music make you feel? Or what is a place that calms you? And so that, you know, it allows, it doesn't rely so much on memory, so that for people who have memory issues, they can still participate in these conversations. And it's a really, it's a really profound technique. Actually, the doctor I wrote about, a woman named Laura Mosqueda, and I went on a road trip to Morgantown, Kentucky, to see a play that Anne produced in a nursing home, a play called Wendy's Neverland, based on the Peter Pan story. But in Anne's version of it, Wendy has grown up and grown old and is living in a nursing home. And the residents and the staff and artists were all the actors and the crew. And it was this expression of joy and generosity and beauty. And it was really a very moving thing to see. So I think one thing we do too often is to give up on old age as a time that we kind of ignore at best or fear. And we should embrace it as a time of potential expanded opportunity for creativity and storytelling, and really think about what matters most to us on our own and with the people we love in our later years.
Thank you for that. We've had Ann Bastien on Central Time before, and so we've linked our conversation with Ann on our website at WPR.org. So thank you for mentioning this work that's happening really close to home here for WPR. We're talking with M.T. Connolly about how aging is hard and how our systems can make that better or actually more challenging. She's an elder justice advocate. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. I wonder, MT, lots of people have lots of advice about aging, but what did you want to share that's a different take than what's already in front of us?
It's kind of a simple recipe, I think, but one that we too often miss, which is to really think about it, to be intentional about aging, and then to have the conversations, to think about what are going to be the challenges, whether it relates to care or money or really complicated balancing of autonomy and safety issues, and then how do we plan for it to be a time of life where we do things that matter to us, to have purposeful activity. And a lot of people find a lot of purpose in volunteering or in doing something that they've never done before. And then to make sure also that we have the conversations in our families, among friends, and then also to push policymakers and employers and other institutions to be having the conversations about aging. How do we make sure that we're preparing for the challenges and that we can take advantage of and don't miss out on the really good parts of it? Because there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. And I think there are small things that we can do to really improve our odds of a better old age.
I want to talk briefly about elder justice because you've done a lot of work in this area. And I think it's important when you talk about policymakers to help us understand how that form of social justice intersects with other areas like race or gender or sexuality. Put elder justice in some context for us.
Absolutely. This is a question with many parts, but I'll try and do it quickly. What we know is that other forms of injustice make aging harder. So, for example, people of color experience about twice as much elder financial exploitation. Low-income Latinos were victimized about four times as often in terms of all kinds of elder abuse. And so what we see is a compounding of inequities over the lifespan. And often the people who most need access to care have the least capacity to pay for it because we don't really have a payer system. We don't have a long-term care insurance system per se, except for Medicaid. And so we really need to do much better at that and start having those kinds of conversations as well. Now, having privilege or resources is not a silver bullet. It doesn't protect you from some of the challenges of aging, but it is certainly much more, there are many more challenges for people of color and for people without resources.
It's certainly very complicated and so many things connected. MT, thank you so much for joining us today and for writing this book.
I really appreciate your having me, and thanks for the conversation, Keely.
Marie-Therese Connolly is a nationally recognized expert on elder justice, and we talked with MT about her new book. It's called The Measure of Our Age, Navigating Care, Safety, Money, and Meaning Later in Life.